You're a business owner.
Check.
You have business owner's insurance.
Check.
And 10 years ago, that went about enough. Today, small businesses are being targeted and taken down by hackers. Medical offices, consultants, CPAs, any business that's built success has everything to lose. You probably have cybersecurity installed on your computer.
Check.
But you probably don't have cyber insurance, coverage against loss and damage if your data is compromised. Cyber Policy covers that gap. Cyberpolicy.com shops the leading cyber insurers to find you the right policy at the right price to avoid a catastrophe. Coverage against loss and damage if your data is compromised. Get a custom quote today in just 4 minutes. And for a limited time, use the promo code BLOGTALK to get Norton's small business protection for up to 5 devices free when you sign up for cyber insurance. Plan, prevent, insure. Visit cyberpolicy.com. That's cyberpolicy.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Norfolk, he has been on just about any kind of committee you can imagine, interfaith, ecumenical. He is the incoming chair of the Tidewater chapter of the National Conference for Community Justice. That's something that John Morris has been involved in. He's very well respected in Christian, Jewish, and Islamic circles, and I'm going to brag on him for a little bit. There's some that think that he's the school of Islamic law for Americans, and Vernon is the one who has been very interested in that, and so I'm just very welcome, happy to welcome him here, and he welcomes our guest speaker.
Vernon, thank you, sir. Thank you very much for those kind words, and we are pleased, equally pleased to be here with you at King's Ranch Presbyterian Church, and we are equally pleased and interested in forging a stronger bond and stronger relationship, and as my friend Phil said, for life. So we are looking forward to that, and in the interest of time, I won't take too much. Our speaker, Imam Muhammad, has a very pressing schedule, very busy schedule, as you can imagine. He gets called upon by so many people from so many different areas and to do so many different things, and because of that, his time is limited, so I won't spend a lot of time introducing him, except to say that he is a man who works in the interest of peace, a man who loves people, he loves humanity, he serves and worships God in the best way by serving humanity. That is the director of the mosque, the man that I consider my leader under Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be on the Prophet, and that is Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Would you welcome him? Thank you. Peace to you. Greeting is excellent. First, I would like to say that we are very Reverend Sheldon Harris, that makes me feel very comfortable to say what I'm going to say to you together. And we are grateful to God for persons who well represent. Thank him for building this relationship. It's not only to be with Muslims and to build a future for our community and children to come in America, and a community that embraces the best of our country. Betterment of our lives in America, and now perception of the natural world, the external world, created by God. That is this way, because I think this is where we all are focused in the same way. The creation of God, the external world, is given to us in our scripture. Praise God. But it is a world that challenges us. And it's the world that eventually will come under influence by those that do not follow the will of God, do not make the will of God uppermost, a primary, first, our most important. And the story goes like this. It says that the world, show the angel of Gabriel his plan, his will. So when Gabriel, the angel, witnessed it, he said to God, "My Lord, how can any man do this?" But that is to say that the world, matter, life, creation, as God made it, would not lead man. So then God, within an instant, changed the view that he was exposing to the archangel Gabriel, or Gabriel. And when Gabriel called, he said, "My Lord, how can any man do this?" And what had happened, man had put his influence on the world, in the world, and had changed the way we should perceive reality. I think you're referring not to ancient times, but depending on man's history. I think he was referring to the day that he was living in right now. Yes. When man's world takes our attention from God and caused many problems for mankind. And the next perception that I want to share with you are the concept that we have. It's a concept we have of life. Of life. We believe that all life is one life. Plant life, animal life, and man. All is one life. we believe that life is made to support itself, support each other, one life support the other. Mankind becomes a very special creation when man seeks to understand reality, when he seeks to understand himself, his own life and purpose, and he seeks to understand his relationship that he should have with the material universe or the material system. And God says that he made man brain, this man, which is brain, intellect, that he made the human brain for the world. He made the world for the human race. But it progresses from that to the belief that he made human life for the external world. Because we engage it with not only our rational mind, our intelligence, we engage it also with our heart. With our heart. God intended for us to have a good, healthy, friendly relationship where we mutually benefit. Man engages with the world material things and taking in as a breath of inhaling, and then he exhales what he receives. He should make a beautiful contribution in turn to the external world. And when we go from perception of the relationship that we should have with the external, with our objective creation, our objective world, we come to the ideal of Tawheed, which progresses a belief in oneness, unity, wholeness, which progresses from our perception of the external world, material world, to a perception of life, all living things tied together, and finally to a perception of man
as God intended them to be. So it's not without inspiration from God, and not without revelation from God, that we can come into our real human form, the time that God wants for all of us, but especially for leaders, so that the leaders will serve the many, and keep the many safe, and keep the many on the right path. Yes. So without revelation, we can't have that. We have to have communication from God. That's our belief. And when that communication comes, it creates us all over again. Holy Book says, God's Word and our Word, it says that the most generous, the beneficent, merciful, and most generous God, He created man. But, I'm sorry, first He taught revelation to man, and He created the human. He taught revelation to man and created the human person. So when God reveals higher knowledge or gives us deep insight into the nature of things through our own existence and show us His purpose, His will and purpose for us in this wonderful creation of His, then and only then do we come into the life form that is truly intended for flesh man, man, flesh man, material man, of flesh, natural man, on the ground, as the scripture says, both scriptures, ours and theirs. And when God says that when He has done that, He says to the rebel, Satan, who changed the way we perceive reality, He says to when He has done that, then you submit to Him, submit to the man that I may, with my true control, literally, with my true hand, Satan, that's how it is. And when we look at our beliefs that are given to us in Islam, universal for all Muslims, we are told to believe in God, have faith in God, in His angels, in His revealed book, in the prophets, in all of the prophets, have faith in them. So you will hear Muslim leaders who are trying to straighten the matter out for us and change the incorrect way that people see Muslims. They will say that Muslims have to believe in Jesus Christ. That's what it's like. And Scripture obligates us to believe in Jesus Christ. And our belief in Him is just so much like Christians' belief until it's really foolish for us to let the difference be a reason for us to embrace each other. To engage each other at least in dialogue, in healthy dialogue, peaceful dialogue. Yes. And the belief continues. We believe you have to believe also in the judgment. Life after death. So these beliefs that we have are the same beliefs that the Christians have. And your leaders, yes, I would like to say our leaders. Yes, I would like to say our leader. I follow good people, good leaders, especially if they obey God. I follow them too. They become my leaders too. Yes, He just made us aware of our vision of Islam in a very beautiful way, with only a very few words. So I'm just building on Billy, what he said, to show you that you're not too far apart. Say the nearest people to you, you'll find the nearest people to you to be those who say they are Christians, those who identify as Christians. Yes. And by the way, Muhammad the Prophet, he predicted, he said of the coming in, he said that the world will see him and Christ Jesus together. Really, in our whole book, all prophets are legitimate. In Scripture, eternity all unto themselves. They're called the brotherhood of the eternity. So we see them united, not against each other. So we may be against each other, but we study the life and purpose of God, that manifests in His service, the prophets, and the true messengers of God. We'll see that we have belief in the excellence of human nature that God intended to perfect that's what brings us together. I engage in dialogue with Jews, with Christians, and some others, Buddhists and some others, because I believe we are one creation, we are one. Human life is one. The evidence of that is for every new baby that's born. The baby comes here with the ability to express itself and get attention. It expresses pain, it expresses pleasure. We love that original life. And when we get old, we cry and wonder. We laugh and wonder. And our souls, we are one people. Now, I have been using this expression now for several years. I say, I believe we are living in the day of religion. And where I get this idea from? Our Holy Scripture says day of judgment, but literally it's day of religion. It says Yom Kippur, day of religion. And the root meaning for religion is paying the debt. It comes from a word that means debt, that you owe debt. It means paying the debt. So judgment, yes. Judgment is a time when we have to pay the debt. Pay up. And it also means the day of release. It is the day of release. I've come to understand that to me in the context of our scripture, our context of the time. That there's a coming of time when religion are going to be the issue. The biggest issue for man will be the religion. God says we have to return to Him just as He created us in the first instance. We originally evolved from the plan of God that we have to be a plan of His creation that supports us. That's coming to our final destiny as progressive human life. And that this Yom Kippur, the day of religion, presently, never before in the history of the religion, of the great religion, did we have leaders of Christianity meeting with leaders of Muslims in the Islamic world, in Mecca, in the sacred land for the Muslims, where we perform pilgrimage yearly. And never did we see this worldwide interest and religions working together, coming together to understand each other, to know each other, and to support the common good, and recognize the value that we have in each of us. There's value for man, for mankind. In the Jewish way, value for mankind, in the Christian way, and value for mankind. So we have to come together and make sure the world itself as a body of matter that has God's will in it. It has God's will in it. If you try to alter its law, you get in trouble. You make trouble for the material universe, make trouble for human life, for everything. So we believe that even the natural creation supports the will of God, and it reacts to what man does in a way to advance human society more in the way of God, so that we reach the end, all of us reach the end that God wants for us on this planet. This is our belief, and I see that happening today more than at any other time in the history of mankind. So I call this the day of judgment. This day of judgment is a day of religion. So religions come together and work for the common good and ignore these little differences we have, which should be minor, and support each other for God's purpose. And lastly, I believe that we're living in what I call the conclusion of all issues, major issues for human have the ozone problem, warming, global warming. We have all these problems. We have waste problems. There's too much waste. We can't manage it. It's troubling our life. And I can go on and on and on. We have the abuse of forest land. We have many serious problems. Pollution of the waters and everything, killing the fish because of industry, making money, want to make money, and they're dumping that garbage in the water. We have many, many problems. And our Holy Book says there's some time when the earth itself is going to respond to man's abuses as if God himself has revealed to Mother Earth. So I concluded with that, and I hope that shows you what I feel in my heart, and that is that God reaches us all. Make us like you in another way. Yes. Thank God for this day and this opportunity to speak to you. And I hope that we build on this friendship. Let us try to be now learning to you. Learning to you. And your knowledge of leader, person, the Reverend Sheldon Harris.
I want to just say, Imam Muhammad, I admire you for trying to understand the book of Revelation. John Calvin, who's one of our forebears of the Presbyterian Church, wrote a commentary on every book of the Bible except Revelation because he said he could not understand it. So, will you entertain a few questions? Let's see, we could have the microphones. If people can raise their hands, we have some
questions. Let me say before we take the questions, the Imam is on a very tight schedule, so we only need to take a few questions, and we prefer that they be from the members here, if possible. If you'll state your questions, raise your hands, we'll identify your questions very quickly. Yes. Fans, please. That every people, every religious group has a law and a way of tradition, has a law and a tradition. So this is established by God, and that's for us, for the leaders, of Islam, whether we're called Imam, Dawah, whatever. So it means that the Muslims should have a law. Tradition and their own tradition as other religious communities have them. I think it's been carried too far, and we must recognize that some persons, they ascend to leadership, but their knowledge is small. We don't put that much, we don't put too much importance on Sharia. For us, Sharia is the commandments of God, the laws of God, the restrictions we find. That is our Sharia. We do not accept these Sharia that have been elected or put together and collected by ethnic groups, nations, or national groups over what is revealed in the Quran. I'm making very sure.
thought. School of thought. School of thought. These schools of thought different as to geography. For example, in the area of there's a shadow. Geographically, then we have an obligation to also differ with them because we are in another new geography, the United States of America. So these sharia should be determined by the best of our leaders in their locale. We shouldn't impose sharia and integrate on ourselves. It can be real trouble. That's a must for us. That's the reason, believe me, because we don't do that, we hold things in.
About a lot of Christians don't know this. The gentleman asked about the imposition of Sharia law. My area of research was in the history of Arabic-speaking Christians in the Middle East. When the first Muslims came to the Middle East, Arabic-speaking Syriac and Coptic Christians were granted dhimmi status, an Arabic word which means protected minority. They were free to live under their own laws. Again, the Ottoman Turkish Sultan, the word was mullah. Armenian Christians, Coptic Christians, Syriac, all got to live in their own terms with their own laws. And that was part of the protective, because Christians and Jews in the Quran are called al-Kitab, people of the book. And I'm right about that. So they were free, that Sharia law was not imposed upon them.
Spiritual and spiritual reality.
I address, and Ginger is one of the ones who went to the mosque. People have asked for a long time where the voices of moderates are. Right here. Within an hour after the powers went down, Imam Muhammad, very, Bob, let you speak what you said.
I said that the media was not Muslim behavior. It was very savage behavior. Suicidal mission to achieve or get attention to your problem, your cause. This is the vision of Islam. And taking your penis is not a tradition. You have to show them to see that you do not have harm, who you want to do not bear. People are driven by desperation, which are contaminated from sin, and abuse this natural nature, natural way of behavior, and it's vicious even though it was peaceful before. So I think attention needs to be given too to the causes for this, savage behavior. Inhuman behavior. And I don't think we should judge the Muslims by what these terrorists are doing any more than we should judge American Christians by what the KKK did for over 100 years to us. And we have no one to do. So we should not look at only what is happening, that we should look for calm. Since I said it to the white people in the South, I want to mend the relationship with Southern whites. I think it's a must. Because very, very radical things and unreal things, things that didn't get no support. Ideas that had no support in true reality. Rational support, no. Didn't have rational support. I was taught those things, I was given those things from the time, a little wage from my mother. So I grew up accepting that our world is the real world and everything else is not real. So I can understand how people can get in these mindsets. We should forgive them. This time is better for bettering our relationship with our enemies. We should try to better our relationship even with our worst enemies. So these terrorists in time will be behind us. They'll still be around. Their people will still be blamed. We should learn to be as God and as David. We should learn to forgive.
Your mom has a flight he's got to take. But before we go, into the same thing because the Crusades were hardly Christian. Many Christians were practicing something called the Reconciliation War, saying, I'm sorry to Muslims and Jews for what they did. Before we bid farewell, I want the folks in King's Ranch to meet Vernon's family. Vernon, you introduce, please, raise your wife and your daughter. Burnham's daughter, who's a graduate student of Norfolk State, gave one of her poems yesterday. All I got to say is Maya Angelou, watch that. Very powerful. I'd like to thank Imam W.D. Muhammad for being here today. I hope and believe this is not just the beginning of something, but something that will continue on. And just because the Imam has to leave, you all are all free to stay here and visit one another. You don't have to leave. So we'd encourage you to introduce yourself to people in the pews and get to know each other. That's the way peace comes about. Thank you, and God.
I just want to recognize my friend.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I just want to recognize my friend, Fred McCall, Reverend Fred McCall also.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Please, stay. Don't leave.
Natural Skincare by Karima with Shea Butter. We offer a great selection of 100% all-natural moisturizing creams for the face and body, without preservatives. Also, check out our hair products, Order online and get them delivered to your home. Check out our new online shop at www.etsy.com. Search for Natural Skincare by KHB. For more information, visit us online at www.naturalskincarebykarima.com or email us at naturalskincarebykarima@gmail.com. Give us a call at 301-534-4475 or fax us at 240-318-3537. Try out our newest product, our Peppermint Foot Rub, for a luxurious feeling your feet won't forget.
Good evening. You're listening to the New Africa Business Association Blog Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, along with my co-host, Abdul Abzee Shahib. Brother Shahib, are you with me? Brother Aziz? Brother Aziz?
You're a business owner.
Check.
You have business owner's insurance.
Check.
And 10 years ago, that went about enough. Today, small businesses are being targeted and taken down by hackers. Medical offices, consultants, CPAs, any business that's built success has everything to lose. You probably have cybersecurity installed on your computer.
Check.
But you probably don't have cyber insurance, coverage against loss and damage if your data is compromised. Cyber Policy covers that gap. CyberPolicy.com shops the leading cyber insurers to find you the right policy at the right price to avoid a catastrophe. Coverage against loss and damage if your data is compromised. Get a custom quote today in just 4 minutes. And for a limited time, use the promo code BLOGTALK to get Norton's small business protection for up to 5 devices free when you sign up for cyber insurance. Plan, prevent, insure. Visit cyberpolicy.com. That's cyberpolicy.com.
Hey, DC, did you know that the average person spends hours a week at the grocery store? But you're not an average person, are you? There's a better way to get fresh groceries, and it's called Fresh Direct. Shop for farm-fresh fruit and vegetables, custom-cut meat and seafood, chef-prepared meals and meal kits, all your favorite brands, plus hundreds of weekly deals. Order Fresh Direct anytime, anywhere, and get the freshest groceries delivered to your door. Use code MUSICDC to get $50 off your first order of $99 or more. Visit FreshDirect.com or download the app today.